Welcome to Digging Deep, the podcast where we offer bereavement bites for time-pressed professionals. My name is Heather Pitney, second-generation funeral director and the president and CEO of GFD. Today on our podcast, we have the fabulous Melanie McDonald, funeral director team lead from Weaver Family Funeral Home, board member of the Ontario Funeral Service Association, 22 years licensed. Melanie, in 1 week, at age of 44, found out she was going to be a grandma and needed a hip replacement. Today, Melanie and I are talking about just dealing, breaking the stigma of burnout in the bereavement sector. Melanie, welcome.
Thank you so much, Heather.
I'm so excited
Thanks
to have you here.
Yes.
Okay, you got to unpack that for me.
Okay. So during COVID, I definitely had a decline in my physical health with my hip. And of course, with COVID, everything was aggravated. Our physical state, our mental state, everything. In the midst of that, we moved from our home that we had been in for 16 years. We're kind of uprooted for a while. And then in the midst of that, my middle girl comes home and very lovely, we're so proud, says she's expecting. So towards the end of COVID, when things were starting to settle down, we'd gotten into a new home, I decided I needed to deal with this physical issue and found out that, in fact, I needed a total hip replacement and became a grandma that week. And my husband jokes around and says, it's a good thing that that type of stuff doesn't bother me, because I would have been like Botox or something, I don't know, something to feel young again, right? So, and through, I worked all the way through. I worked right up.
So you're working through that pain. I actually remember talking to you during that time, and you were in a lot of pain.
Yes.
Still working.
Yes. With a walker.
I remember, yeah.
Yes. Nothing so humbling as to walk into a funeral to conduct a funeral service, having to push a walker, right? Very humbling.
So you're going through all of that stuff, processing it all. On top of that, you've got all the stuff that as a funeral professional you have to deal with, right? You're dealing with the have 22 years licensed. Did you find when you were going through that, especially because pain, physical pain can bring you in with it all kinds of stuff, right? Did you find that you had to unpack a lot of stuff that you were carrying around with you that maybe you didn't realize you were carrying around?
I did. The unfortunate part is I didn't know how to unpack it or to unpack it properly. So leading up to having my surgery, I was literally just a robot going in auto.
So you dealt with it by just like turning it off?
Yes, absolutely. It was, I'd like to think I tried to maintain my positivity. I tried to be the positive person and try to get through it. But all the while, you know, when you're taking things in and not getting rid of them properly, at some point then when you got to unpack it, and literally my new hip was not only just like the physical for me, but having that time off taught me how to unpack it. Finally, having a break from society, having a break from my profession, having a break from everything and taking that time to recover was so much more of an emotional recovery than I ever thought it would be.
You know, it's interesting, right? Like, and we're a little bit facetious or playing with our title of this podcast, which is just deal with it. But I think that in funeral service, that is kind of what we're expected to do, right? Like when you and I sat down and said, oh, we're going to have this podcast, tell me how you deal with the emotional trauma. You just deal with it. Because that's sort of the expectation, right? Especially, do you feel that that's changing? Or do you think that there is still very much a sense that as a funeral professional, you're just expected to deal with it, which is cool?
Well, I think there's two layers to that. I think that the first layer is at the end of the day, we literally need to just deal with it. We can't have a family come through the door and say to them, oh, I'm sorry. So as an example of this, I remember serving a family where their teenage daughter was killed very suddenly, very tragically. And this young lady was the same age as my own teenage daughter. She wore the same clothing. She did the same things. And I ended up being that family's funeral director. I couldn't turn around and say, I'm sorry, I can't help you, because this hits too close to home. We don't have those options. How would a sole proprietor of a funeral home have that option to turn that family away? So we the layer of it is we absolutely have to deal with it. But then how do we turn it around to make it make sense to us in our life? And I definitely think for a number of years, we were not doing that. We were not doing that. As funeral professionals, we were not dealing with it properly, appropriately. And I'd like to think that, I'd like to say that maybe the last 10, 15 years, our workplaces, our owners, our managers, our companies are definitely starting to realize that you have to deal with that stuff. There is things that you have to deal with, right?
Yeah.
And whether that's through, you know, benefit programs, whether that's through showing appreciation, whether that's a pat on the back, whether that's how can I help you, right? Are you okay? You know, those things go a long way. The person, you know, you might not need hundreds of dollars of therapy. You literally might just need to have a conversation with a coworker and unpack that day.
Right, because I think what you said earlier is really profound, right? When you're a funeral professional and you're helping a family, you don't have the luxury of having an emotional reaction, right? But you're still human. So I think we become very good at sort of disassociating, right? We start very good at, okay, I'm just gonna put that over there while I deal with whatever has to happen here. And the weird part about it, I think, is that things that are not normal almost become normal, right? I remember when I was pregnant with my daughter, first baby, my husband and I, he's in child protection, we're going into prenatal classes, right? And so, I mean, I was working in Toronto, he was working for Welland, we meet in the middle, and they have this discussion about stress, right? And the instructor says, oh, do you have you had any stress lately, right? And my husband and I are like, no. You know, we're looking at each other going, no, you know, I don't think so. And then someone puts up their hand, they say, oh, my goodness, I had to drive to Toronto, the traffic was so bad. And everyone's like, oh, that's so horrible. And then somebody else is like, oh, my mother-in-law came to visit. And I was like, ooh. And then my husband and I started laughing because I, like, had buried two babies that day. And, you know, never mind what he had to do in his work. And we were, like, coming from a place like this was not stressful and completely normal. And that's when I started to realize that, like, as funeral professionals, we just, like, become used to things that are really, really abnormal. And if we don't take time to recognize that and to acknowledge that, not only for ourselves but also with each other, it comes back to get you later, right? Like I found after 2 decades, like I couldn't even watch commercials and I would just like start crying. So you think things are changing in the profession, is that right?
Mm-hmm. I do.
So what kind of things are you guys doing at your funeral home that are changing that for each other?
Absolutely. So we have, unfortunately, in the last 10 years, we actually went through 2 profound losses.
At the funeral home?
At the funeral home. So we went through a loss 10 years ago where a funeral director passed away very suddenly.
Like one of your team?
That was the intricacy, yeah. Kind of one of our team. She was coming to be a part of our team. And well-loved in our community, well-loved by her family and friends. And so as a funeral home, we served her family. And then in 2023, our wonderful co-worker Thomas, you know, passed away quite suddenly. And so as a team, we all of a sudden found ourselves having to serve, you know, and we find ourselves having to be in the spotlight of the grieving friends, but also having to maintain that level of professionalism.
Yeah, because you're working.
Right?
Right?
Well, you know what? I did. I stood outside, and when they took Thomas's casket from our funeral home, his favorite song, Panama, from Van Halen played. And I bawled like a baby. Because you know what? I deserved it. I deserved it. He was my friend. So why shouldn't I, right? And so maybe 20 years ago, your owner would have maybe turned to you and said, you should have really kept it together.
Would you, though, even back then, would you have given yourself permission to do that?
Probably not. No, probably not. You know, I never do well with being anything other than my authentic self. I've learned that over the last couple of years, that when you try to be something or try to fit into the hole that someone wants you to fit into, it never works. So just be your authentic self. People might not like it. That's okay. They can, you know, they can move along. You're here. And I think that also is huge for funeral directors, because, like, let's be honest, we're all wonderful people. We are wonderful people. We are the best group of people you'd ever meet.
Isn't that the truest statement ever? We are the best people you'll ever meet.
And I mean, our parties. Look at our parties that we have. We have so much fun when we party. But I think it's a part of the burnout. I think keeping that that stone look and keeping, you know, yourself always prim and proper and polished is a part of the burnout, right? Where if people actually just started being a little bit more authentic and not trying to be something that they're not all the time, think of the energy you would save, right? And I have a number of families who will say to me, wow, we had no idea that this was going to be this way. Thank you. You took away all of the feelings of, you know, how is this going to work? What's this person going to be like, right? And you laid it out. And I always say to people, I treated you like I would want my own family treated. I think that's a huge part of the burnout is funeral directors have to put on this, you know, shield all the time. And honestly, I think it's time that we start looking at, like, just being yourself. Like, just being yourself, right? And I mean, especially, it must be hard. Like, I'm fortunate in my ownership, being an employee and not ownership. My ownership is extremely accepting of me being myself. I have a lot of autonomy in the decisions I make for my families and such. But I could not imagine being me and working for someone who was maybe old school, right?
You know, I was chatting with Becky Steckley about women in funeral service and commenting on how, like, when I started in the 90s, there was lots of women. There was, like, more than 50% of our class was women, but almost none of them are in funeral service anymore. And we were talking about, like, what are some of the reasons that people don't stay, right? And I think that this is one of them, because at some point in your career, you know, you can be as super stoic, you can be going through the motions, you can get, you know, just be going through it, but at some point a reckoning will happen where you do have to face the trauma that you've experienced, and you do have to come to terms with that. And I wonder if that's, like, one of the reasons that people leave funeral service and say, yeah, this isn't for me anymore.
I definitely think it is. I think that for so long, I think for women in particular, so, like, my commentary on that would be that I spent a lot of time in my 30s trying to be the mom and the wife and the stepmom and the daughter that everybody else kind of thought I should be. And I always joked around with my husband, and I was like, I never want to be that woman. I don't want to lose myself. You met me, you know, I was this. I was hopefully fun, a little bit
you
wild,
right?
You know,
and like, you're always
right?
a little bit wild.
I've had to be mindful of my language on this podcast, you know, because that's what, and, you know, and that's okay. And I'm okay with that. I never wanted to lose that. And I think I truly spent most of my 30s I lost that because I was trying to be something to everybody else. And all of a sudden I kind of got into my 40s and I was like, you know what? There's no way I'm done doing this. Like, this is who I'm going to be. I think I honestly think that the time that we had during COVID helped with that.
Do you think it was like the time off that you had, or do you think just like the change in funeral service? And
I think the whole refocusing. So I was like, COVID hit at a perfect time for me because I had like a 12-year-old, right? 12-year-old, 13-year-old. Yeah. And I was at that point where I was getting a little bit afraid that life was going to get out of control and I was going to lose kind of like my thumb on her and what was going on in her life. And COVID hit And that all stopped, right? Like, I knew what was going on. I knew this, I knew that. And it's not that I need to know that, right? But it's just things slowed down enough for me to get a handle on them. Right? And I was present.
And I think in funeral service, you don't even know that you're not present because you're so busy getting stuff done all the time that you don't really stop to realize what you're missing.
I've really tried. I know with my daughter, the one thing I've tried to do is, like, you know how we're always like, you know, people are like, well, maybe they take a bad experience and they're like, okay, well, I'm going to tell my kids they can't do that, right? Or I really try to be mindful of that with all three of our kids, that, you know, you live your life, you have to live your life. I don't want to be that mom. I don't want to be that person that's like, no, you can't do this. No, you can't do that, right? Everybody's got to live their life. But I think for women, like, especially, because I think, you know, you get to that point in your life where maybe you've had children in your 20s, you know, you're raising them in your 30s, all of a sudden in your 40s, you find yourself that you're like, oh, look at these children can feed themselves now, right? I just said to someone, I was like, you know what is, this has like been the first time I've gone away actually where I'm missed. And I missed because my physical presence is gone. Not because I'm not cooking, not because I'm not running around, taking people places. I'm actually missed because they can do all that stuff now, right? And it's nice. Like, it's nice to get to that spot. When you get to that spot and you can come back to really look at your true value and find out what your true value is, I think that's at the point where you're like, okay, am I going to keep doing this? Am I going to keep doing this? Am I going to keep doing that? What are the things that are draining on me, right?
Yeah.
And so, for women, I definitely think that the burnout, it doesn't surprise me that we see women leaving this occupation and this profession around that time, because it's like, you know, it's been ever consuming, it's been ever draining. And I'm not saying it's not for the men, I'm not saying that, but I just feel it's a little bit different for women.
It can be.
It can be.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, we're nearing the end.
Yep.
Lightning round.
Yep. Oh.
Ready?
Right. Oh, no.
Top two things you do to cope.
I go home and I spend time with my family. I've started to learn to calm down and realize that I don't constantly have to be busy to be dealing with it. So I will sit on my back deck. I will take it all in. I will enjoy a beer. I will, you know, just be present and mindful. So mindfulness, I guess, is one of them, right?
Hard to do as a funeral professional, because shutting off that mind,
right?
Oh my goodness, you're going through the list.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think that I'm learning to reinvest. Like, how do you cope? You find ways to invest in yourself. So whether that is, for some people, like taking the day and going and do something on your own, like today, oh my God, I sat by myself at the restaurant and had a couple margaritas all by myself, wasn't on my phone, just taking it in, right? I felt great. So these are these little things that I think you have to learn what will fill your bucket almost essentially again. And I think that's one of the ways that I've learned to cope with some of this, right? And be like, no, I need to deal with this, because wherever I go, I'm going to take this with me.
Number one thing that owner managers can do to support their staff. One thing.
Mm-hmm. Pay attention.
Oh.
Pay attention.
Another hard thing to do in funeral service. We're so outwardly focused all the time, right?
Right. Pay attention to the cues. Pay attention to who's talking, who's not talking. Pay attention to body language, just paying attention to your team so that you are watching or hearing or seeing, you know, sometimes just a person that needs a friendly few words.
So for that funeral or bereavement professional, could be funeral or cemetery, who might be listening to our podcast, just very quickly, what's one piece of advice you would give them if they were having a hard time coping?
I would definitely say take the time to evaluate and realize that you have a huge amount of value in you, and that our society will sometimes say you don't, and you absolutely do. So then find the way to put back into that value and whatever that is for you. But there is value in you.
Thank you so much. This has been such a great conversation. Sadly, this concludes this episode of Digging Deep. So Melanie, I want to thank you for being here with us and
for being
so open to sharing your personal experience and talking about this stuff. I mean, we don't like to talk about this stuff as female professionals, right? So thank you for joining me today. Again, my name is Heather Kightley, President and CEO of GMT of Canada.